Welcome, dear friends. You know, it's amazing how life can be such a mixture of the beautiful and of the challenging. As we see the leaves turning during the season, we're reminded of just as the leaves have little control of changing in colors and dropping from the trees, we have little control as well. But we have a Lord who created us and loves us and is with us. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, dearest Lord, we confess that we come to you during this tumultuous time with more questions than answers. How are we to be your people in this time of division? How are we to wisely navigate the many challenges we face? How are we to live out our faith with wisdom and integrity? As we gather today in worship, we come with deepest gratitude as we're reminded that you are always with us. We thank you for continually giving us ways to serve and for all those who so generously share their resources that we might continue to help our brothers and sisters. May all be blessed. We open our hearts and minds to you, Lord, praying that you would make our path clear and that you would feed us and strengthen us through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads in word and song.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Let's worship. No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Count all his losses so that I may gain Christ. Sharing his suffering, sharing his raising, granted a brand new life. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Today comes from Matthew 7 and Matthew 22. Hear God's word. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And from Matthew 22, when the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault, and one of their religion scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are prigs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. May God give us understanding. And let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Some of you may remember Irma Bombeck. She was an American writer who was very popular for her humor, and she commonly described suburban home life from 1965 to around 1996, and she was also a very successful author and published 15 best-selling books. She had a great sense of humor, and I was intrigued to come across some of her comments about success. She wrote, I can't remember the name of the man who spoke at my high school commencement, but I remember what he said. He told us the future of the world rested on our shoulders, and he charged us with finding our destiny and fulfilling it. He went on to say, we alone must cure disease, hunger, and poverty throughout the world, and above all, we must find success. After the speech, the entire group scrambled out of the auditorium in search of success as if it were the first item on a scavenger hunt. We had no idea what it was or where to look for it, how much it cost, whether it was in season or what it looked like. But from that day on, we got up early in the morning and pursued it until late at night. And sometimes we heard that other classmates had found it, but when we confronted them, they assured us that if they had, they'd be happier. Well, by our 10th reunion, no one had found it yet. The men struggled in their jobs and fertilized their lawns on weekends. The women raised babies and polished the bottoms of their revere ware. It seemed we were never rich enough, thin enough, or important enough to qualify for success. Well, that was written years ago, but some things never change. We are all led to believe that to really matter, we have to be a big success, even though there are so many mixed messages about what success even is. But what does success look like to you? I mean, if you could wave a magic wand right now and have the successful life that you'd be proud of at your high school reunion, what would it look like? And how might it be just a little different from the life you're actually living? Just think about that for a minute. And now a second question. Imagine that your time has come and you've left this earthly domain and you find yourself in a conversation with God about your life, how would you like God to see you? And how do you think God would measure your success? I mean, this is key. Is the way you'd like the world to see you different from how you'd like God to see you? Do you think that God measures success differently than the world? And if so, which do you think is more important? Now, these may seem weird questions. They may make you a little uncomfortable, but they're really important. Because at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what is most important to us? And what is the foundation of our lives? Who are we really trying to please? The world or God? And our foundation matters. James Merritt tells how one of the most amazing stories he ever heard was of a builder who developed a subdivision of ritzy exclusive homes somewhere up in Canada. And these homes sold years ago for over $200,000 a piece, which was a lot back then. On the outside, it was just a beautiful subdivision. But then winter came, snow fell, winds blew, rain came, and all of a sudden, first one house, then another, literally began to collapse and simply sink into holes. Can you even imagine what that must have been like? Well, for a while, they couldn't even figure it out. But then after questioning the developer, they found out that he'd taken the cheap route. And instead of preparing the site and laying the foundation, he built this entire subdivision on a garbage dump. Now, it shouldn't surprise anyone, but the most important part of building a home is not what you build, not how you build, but where you build. And you'd be better off to build a log cabin on a rock than you would to build a mansion in a swamp. Like a building, our destiny and our durability depends on our own foundations. And if our foundation is the values of the world, well, it's like building in sand or a garbage dump. First and foremost, our foundation needs to be God. God is our rock. But how do we make God our foundation? Well, Jesus reveals this, I think, in his response to the Pharisees during their final questioning. They were all about the rules, which had little to do with God in the way they use them, but were instead used for their own benefit. And Jesus responded to their question, which was meant to be a trap, with not just the most important commandment, but with what is at the heart of our real faith. And that which is our foundation, namely that we are to love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence, and tied to that, love others as well as you love yourself. As Jesus said, these two commands are pegs, and everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. This, my friends, is our roadmap. And really living this out is also the measure of real success, the measure of a life truly well-lived. And loving God with intelligence means we need to pay attention and we need to seek truth, even truth we don't want to hear, especially truth we don't want to hear. We can't simply dismiss things we don't want to believe because reality is reality, whether we want to accept it or not. There's an old story about an elderly Scottish woman who was making her way through the countryside, and each time she came to a crossroads, she'd toss a stick into the air. And whichever way the stick came down was the direction she went. At one intersection, though, an old man saw her toss her stick into the air, not once, not twice, but three times before she continued. Old man was pretty curious, and he asked her, well, why do you throw your stick like that? And she said, I'm letting God direct my journey by using this stick. Well, then why did you just throw it three times? He said, well, because the first two times he was pointing me in the wrong direction. Well, I think that we have all been there, yes? Sadly, too often, we are like that old woman, claiming that we're following God's direction, even as we selectively pick our own. And too often, we think we know better than God, even when it's clear that we don't. And the consequences can be severe. It's sort of like the true story of a man who lived in Long Island back in 1938. It was the year that barometers were just coming into vogue. And this man went out and he bought one. And as he was hanging it on his wall, he happened to look at the needle and it indicated that a hurricane was coming. That's ridiculous, he thought. He shook it, he beat it, he patted it, but nothing changed. Just my luck, he thought. I'd buy a barometer and the thing doesn't even work. So he put it back in the box and he drove back into New York City to exchange it for another one. But when he got back home, there was no home. His house had blown away. Yep. You see, the barometer was right. There was a storm coming. And the problem was not the barometer. The problem was with the man who didn't believe the barometer. My friends, it's really easy for us to fall into that trap too, as well-meaning as we might be. But as we navigate the many challenges we face, especially in these uncertain and confusing times, we especially need to pay real attention to what God is telling us and the lessons of God's word. We need to be on the alert for the wolves in sheep's clothing who would steer us the wrong direction. We need to pay close attention to the actual fruits of those who would lead us, those who would deceive us. Are those fruits good or are they bad? And we have to follow God's path, not the one of our own choosing. We need to put our faith into practice, and that starts by keeping our eyes on our Lord and what He would have us do. We must never forget that the only one we need to please is God, and our success is not measured by the world's standards or values, but on our commitment to loving God and our brothers and sisters as ourselves. I want to close with a final story from Stephen M. Kratz, who shares that he once visited a man who had just suffered a drastic financial setback. Crushed from the economic loss, the man cried, "Everything's gone, gone. It's all lost." Without hesitation, Stephen said to him, "I'm so sorry to hear that your wife is dead." The man looked at him in alarm. My wife?" And Stephen continued, "Oh, and I'm doubly sad to hear that you've lost your children." "My children?" the man whispered. "And oh, how it pains me to learn that you've lost your character, your church, your friends, your God." And the man protested, saying, "He'd lost none of those things." Stephen continued, "But I thought you said you'd lost everything." Well, apparently the man sobered up, and it wasn't long before he realized that he'd actually lost none of the things that really mattered the most in his life. My friends, this life is a challenge for sure, especially right now. And we are continually being put to the test. But we win when we let go of the ways of this world and keep centered in our Lord as our foundation. Then we will know what is truly most important. And as you make your number one priority to love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence, and to love others as well as you love yourself, then you will have a life well lived. And then you will know true success. Let us pray. Oh, dearest Lord, we confess that in spite of our good intentions, it's so easy for us to go astray, to find seemingly good reasons for bad choices. Help us to be those who bear good fruit, Lord, and who seek those who bear good fruit, who build our foundation in you. Help us to keep our lives centered in you and your purpose for us, even when it's hard, even when it's painful, even when it feels impossible. May thy will be done. And may we live as good and faithful servants, knowing our love for you through our actions, treating all our brothers and sisters with love and respect and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, these are difficult times, but we must never stop seeking the truth, and we must never stop keeping God as our foundation. Know how much God loves you, and that Jesus Christ, we truly are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now let's continue in prayer with Jill Duffield.
God of all times and places, we cannot stop talking about the painful events we have witnessed this week. We are discussing the numbers of people killed by COVID-19. We speak constantly of the suffering brought on by this pandemic. We talk about the economic, physical, mental, spiritual, and psychological distress all over the globe. We debate the merits and risks of reopening our country. We cannot turn away from the anxiety that feels ever present. We know you hear our voices and our supplications. We give thanks that you do not leave us alone. As the risen Christ comes alongside us now, we pour out our hearts, unashamed to share exactly how we feel and what we fear in this moment. We rest in your sure presence as we share with you now our thoughts and worries, our hopes and our doubts. God of all times and places, tell us again the story of salvation. Remind us how you rescued us from Egypt and sustained us in the wilderness. Help us to remember that you were with us in exile and made a way to bring us home. Do not let us forget that you can use for good even that for which we intend for evil. Bring to our minds the countless times you have not allowed the storms of this life to overtake us. We know you hear our voices and our supplications. We give thanks that you do not leave us alone. As the risen Christ comes alongside us now, we urge him not to leave, but instead to stay with us. We abide in your resurrected presence as we listen for your living word. Give us your guidance in this trying time. God of all times and places, having heard your word and broken bread with you, we recognize our Lord alive and showing us the way. You do indeed make all things possible, defeating evil, overcoming death, restoring us to right relationship with you and one another. Send us to those places in deepest need of knowing that creation is redeemed and nothing can separate us from your love. Hear our voices and our shouts of praise as we proclaim we have seen the Lord. He is risen indeed. We are not and will never be alone. We make our prayer in the name of the one who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, never forget, God is our rock. God is our foundation. And though the world may be turbulent, God is with us, keeping us strong. And with God, we can endure any storm that comes our way. And now, may you go in God's strength, God's love, God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.